Now, with a growing population of 7 billion already and a huge pressure on resources, fossil fuels and food, can we actually cope with an immortal population? Well, still with us are John Troyer, Garrett Smith and Misho, who you were just hearing. So we thought we'd bring them all together and ask their opinion. Garrett, first of all, you've actually signed up for this whole concept of cryonics. Why are you for the idea?
I don't particularly want to be vitrified or suspended. That's, you know, really my last ditch thing to do. I like being alive and I want to stay alive.
I mean, the only thing that's bothering me, Misho, with what you were saying is that, fine, you end up in a computer and you exist. Aren't you going to be sort of stuck with 21st century thinking?
Well, one danger of immortality is stagnation, that old thinking may begin to dominate all of society. That's why we have to make sure that we encourage creativity, innovation, youthful kind of thinking, or else we will, in fact, stagnate as a consequence. But think of all the benefits that we could have. One thing that separates us from the animals is that we have a culture, and that is that we can hand down information from generation to generation. Mama Bear does not teach Baby Bear how to hunt in the forest other than by behavior. There's no culture among animals. And however, this culture will be enriched once we have the ability not just of information, but the entire personality being preserved. And so I think that society, instead of stagnating, could actually benefit from this. And we could our culture will be greatly enriched once we have this kind of digital immortality.
John, are you comfortable with this idea over the whole preservation of the body? Because, of course, as I mentioned at the beginning, there are 7 billion plus people on Earth. We're expecting that number to exceed 10 billion by mid-century. Surely preserving ourselves in silico in a computer is better than preserving ourselves in the flesh.
There's a key issue for both, let's say, methods of preservation, which is both the revivification or the bringing back, but also then the long-term support, and then how basically do you keep everything from degrading? How do you keep the information itself from breaking down over time?
Well, the other important point is, I suppose, Misho, is there not a danger if you exist as a computer program that someone might infect you with a computer virus?
Yeah, there's always the danger of hacking as well. What happens if somebody hacks into the memory of an Albert Einstein and corrupts it, so all of a sudden you get nonsense coming out? That's always a danger. However, I think the risks are far smaller than the benefits. We're talking about enriching our culture.
So there you go, Garrett. It looks like you're going to have to preserve yourself until such time as you can exist in a computer program.
I don't think that an animatronic Winston Churchill would really be Winston Churchill. So I really do plan, if it all works out, to come back as me, as a biological me. And I think if I could agree, whilst I don't want to be a robot, and I know a lot of people that don't, I would like to agree with Michio on how people living longer, because whether or not people are cryopreserved, the anti-aging research will go on. One of our problems in the world is that people forget what the history and what has happened before. So, of course, they're doomed to repeat it.
But that's what Michio is sort of saying, that have this sort of collective knowledge, then actually we can have Winston Churchill on tap or Einstein to help us solve problems, and then we won't actually arrive at that situation. Do you agree, Michio?
Yes, I agree, because I think, as I mentioned, what separates her from the animals is the culture that we hand down generation after generation. But why do we have to lose that generation when they die? All that wisdom and knowledge essentially evaporates when people die. Why should it be that way? Why not benefit from this? And so why do we have libraries? We have libraries because we hope to benefit from reading about biographies of the lives of famous people. But why not actually interact with these famous people? Now, at first, of course, the first generation of the Library of Souls is not going to be very good. However, as the decades go by, once we have the entire connectome, then it will be indistinguishable. The Library of Souls will be indistinguishable from the real thing. No experiment can differentiate between an Einstein and the Einstein that's been digitalized, because the connectome is identical.
Misho, thank you very much. And that's where we must leave it. Thank you very much to Misho Kaku, John Troyer, and Garrett Smith.